Blog Talk Radio.
The Voyager gazed in wonder. It was a time machine.
Hello, anybody there?
Damn. Hey, little brother.
The time machine worked.
Make this December one to remember.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. The those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Noel, 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 Noel.
Blog Talk Radio.
Week 17 is upon us, and more than half the teams are vying for playoff position. And with the haves trying to knock off the have-nots this weekend, there's plenty of action to track at BetOnline.net. Then the stage will be set for the pro football playoffs, and BetOnline.net will have odds, lines, and props all the way through the championship. Check out all the action this week at BetOnline.net as the journey to Tampa gets underway. Always available online on your mobile device. Visit BetOnline.net today. Bring the game home at BetOnline.net.
Hello, everyone. This is a product of Beverly Nation. This is our Nativity, brought to you by the legendary broadcaster, John Facenda, a special presentation of Looking Glass Entertainment. On air now from Long Beach, California. You can dial 605-562-0444. Press pin number 741-4519#. Press 1# of listening, guys. Press *2 to join in. I am your presenter, class of 2019, International Internet Radio Hall of Fame, Jerry Petito enshrining. My reasons for loving John Facenda speaks for itself. He was the voice of God on the airwaves. He started it all for broadcasting. How appropriate to be featuring his nativity tonight. My reasons for loving Christmas also speak for itself. My intentions during this holiday are to simply honor my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was born, who lives, and who died for me and for you. God bless everyone. And now, John Facenda.
Once again, it's time for the story of Christmas. In our world that changes daily with the dawn, we know that this will never change, that always there will be for each of us another dawn of Christmas Day. And with its light would come some small measure of the love and kindness that we owe to one another, some slight feeling of humility and gratitude for the greatest gift the world has ever known, the Son of God, Savior of mankind. Long before the first Christmas, the arrival of the Messiah was foretold in prophecy, prophecies that have withstood the ravages of history and clearly indicate to us today that the birth of Christ was no accident, but part of a master plan. The prophecies are quite explicit as to time and place and circumstance, and the words where the trumpet sounds to herald the arrival of the new king. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not near. A star shall rise out of Jacob, and a scepter shall spring up from Israel. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. For behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a king that shall rule my people. And his going forth is from the beginning, from the days of eternity. Oh, yes, Christmas didn't just happen, yet it took place for all people, for all times. It is a happy story, a story of faith, a story of promise. Oh, we have heard it said a thousand times, but Christmas is for children. It is. It is also for those who have retained the innocence of their early years, or who have regained the spirit of their youth. So to all those who are young in heart, here is the story of Christmas, the most beautiful story that's ever been told. Its greatest beauty is that it is true. Thank you. Nestled in the hills of Galilee, looking out over a small, contented valley of the Holy Land, lies the village of Nazareth, a village marked with renown by both prophecy and history. For here live a man and woman chosen by divine command to give the world the Prince of Peace. Few knew of this sacred secret carried by this couple, Joseph and Mary. Though all hoped that it would come to pass, none dared believe that it could be expressed in the union of a lowly carpenter and his espoused wife. How could they know that an angel of the Lord had spoken to this maid, humble and sincere, holy and saintly, with a word that would set her apart from all other women? Joseph knew all these things, and more. His was the role of protector and provider. His the awesome responsibility of being husband and father, and at the same time, being either. Little else is known about this worker of Nazareth, but so much may be correctly assumed concerning him. He had to be a man of understanding, and he was. Gentle, kind, considerate. God's eternal choice of him would seek to imply those qualities, as well as his sanctity. The carpenter was a good and holy man. He had to be. He was Mary's companion in life. Little is known of his beginnings. Like the deep springs that feed a large lake, Joseph's early years are hidden with the darkness, which his future greatness renders all the more beautiful, like the light and dark sides of the moon. This we know. This we know along with one other thing. He was from the house of David. And this proud fact was soon to cause Joseph great concern. Soon he would have to leave his modest dwelling in Nazareth and journey with Mary, who was with child, to Bethlehem, the city of David, some 80 miles distant. Why so long a journey at this critical time in Mary's condition? Joseph, who obeyed every divine wish, was now to comply with a civil command, the decree from Caesar Augustus that all should be in Rome. Since all Judea at the time was under the jurisdiction of Rome, there was nothing for Joseph and Mary to do but register, according to the law, a law that required each inhabitant to return to the place from which his family came and there be counted for the purpose of taxation. All this Joseph explained to Mary, who smiled knowingly and said something reassuring, for Joseph left to saddle the donkey, and Mary, alone with her thoughts now, made sure that the tiny things that she had sewn since spring were with the other clothes that she would soon need. She glances for a moment at the comfort of her modest home, and hugging the small bundle, she closes the door and joins Joseph and the donkey, her sole means of travel. She is ready now to begin the journey to Bethlehem, prepared also to fulfill her divine mission. Joseph takes the rein and begins to walk, and the donkey moves with him along the dusty road that leads to the city of David. So it began a long time ago, that journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Three souls, Joseph, Mary, and her soon-to-be infant son, Jesus, and a donkey. This donkey, which must take some special place in the animal world, for the one was chosen to carry the Savior to his place of birth. Beast of burden, yes, of low estate among all creatures, yet fit to transport the king of men. A crooked road this donkey trotted to make straight his path. The terrain was rugged, the weather harsh, and there was need for speed. But travel in those days was a far cry from the conveniences of today. Joseph was rich in blessings, but among them was not the blessing of wealth. Fortunate was he that he could borrow the use of this tiny animal for Mary to ride. How many times must this thought have crossed his troubled mind as finally they left the plains of Esdraelon behind and moved into the shadow of Mount Tabor, into Samaria, and at last Judea. It was late afternoon when the family reached Jerusalem. They were now only 5 miles from Bethlehem. Weariness, however, forced their steps to where Joseph hoped would be rest and comfort. The winter sun had long since sunk behind the hill of Calvary. A chilling wind rustles the leaves in the Garden of Gethsemane, and shadows creep along the road to Bethlehem. Joseph turns his mind to thoughts other than the pressing problem at hand. Deliberately, he thinks of the pastures beside him, in which Ruth long ago gleaned the wheat in the fields of Boaz. In that hollow to the right, outside the gates, brave men had died to bring David a drink of water from the wells of Bethlehem. All around him, the ground where David had played as a child, where he had tended his flocks, and where the prophet Samuel had anointed David king. Joseph's thoughts would be but for a moment with the past, for the present persisted with its own concern. Why had he not stayed in Jerusalem? It would have been easier there to find the quarters that Mary needed so sorely. Even now, life held heavy inside the body of his espoused wife. He must find a place for her to rest. Bethlehem would be filled with those making the journey just like he was. What if there was no shelter to be found? Joseph ignored that thought, but not the sight of the silhouetted families around small campfires beside the road. They too were people, like themselves, who had come for the census. And even now he hears the scattered sounds that tell him that they soon will be there. He halts the donkey and turns as if to speak to Mary. But instead, he smooths the shawl around her yet a little closer. He clasps her hand and she turns her eyes toward him, eyes which hold a gentle entreaty. Hurry, Joseph. Hurry. A sharp wind whips at the little family as they enter the gates of Bethlehem. All around them are the signs of a busy, overcrowded town. Though it's after dark, the streets pulsate with the noise of life. Roman soldiers walk in groups, their strange ways and language mingling with the cries and the sounds of the beggars and peddlers. Big, rough-looking men, their eyes flashing with the look of men hundreds of miles from home. Night has settled firmly, and there seems to be even more confusion. The whole atmosphere has that particular urgency that marks the behavior of large crowds away from home, that by shoving more forcefully or shouting more loudly, they may gain an advantage over others. Bethlehem this night will bring little rest to people crowded within its walls. Joseph tightens his grasp of the rein and moves closer to Mary's side as they guide themselves through the maze of people down the narrow streets. Streets that seemed strange to Joseph, yet he knew them, for his last visit was not that long ago. He did remember, for there is the courtyard that leads to the inn. His steps quicken as they pace those of the tired animal. Here will they find rest. Here renew their strength, renew their spirits for that which is to come. All thumbs are his efforts to tether the donkey among the other beasts that crowd the courtyard. But tenderly do the gnarled hands assure his young wife that everything will be all right now that they are at the inn. The darkness of the night stretches out beyond the town and up into the hills above it. Here there is the calm of night, with only now and then a single softened sound to break the stillness. There is no value to a moment here. Time has come and gone, and will come and go again. The seasons bring their change, but the rhythm of the centuries long ago had subdued the land. All is at peace on this hillside. The evening air carries a haunting melody from the shepherd's reed, an ancient melody that lingers in echo as the player lays it aside to stir the small fire at his feet. As if by signal, another lonely shepherd merges into the firelight from the shadows around it. They know the night, these men. Nights without number have they spent just so, as their father's father before them. Night with its eternal waiting, waiting for the least disturbance among their flocks, waiting for a storm to end as quickly as it arose, so that the gray cluster of sheep would be won again, waiting always for the dawn to come. They would talk, these men, talk of many things while they waited. How would they fare at ewing time? Perhaps a change of grazing ground next year. Taxes being what they were, they would just have to raise more and heavier sheep, that's all. And then occasionally, they would banter back and forth on the merits of right and wrong in the way that men live and die. But not this night did the talk concern sheep and man's lot in this world. They were pensive. So too seemed the sheep. Unusual? Yes. But that star, high in the heavens, that too was most unusual. Never had one seen a star so bright, so near and getting closer and closer. What is it, man? What is it? When the angel appeared, one of the shepherds had been dozing. He rubbed his eyes as if to erase the thin traces of a dream, but they would not erase. It was an angel, or surely what an angel must be. The angel was speaking now. Each looked in wonderment. Each looked about quickly to see if the other saw the vision. One look, and they knew an angel was speaking to them. And then the dark sky closed about them, except for that compelling star. If you had been there, you would have had no question. This was a star so bright, it almost took your hand and led you to the holy place. And the shepherds, accustomed to leading sheep, were being led to the great shepherd, the master plan again, the all-knowing, wanting the simplest of men to be the first to know. The prophecies are falling one by one. Soon the world would stand still and start again, but never be the same. Did stand still and started again, but it's never been the same since that moment in time when the Christian era began with his birth. If we no longer can thrill to the tale of Bethlehem, then it is we who have changed. The story of the Nativity has not. The same then, the same now. Age, perhaps, has cluttered up our lives with trivialities and selfishness. We, perhaps, are the crowded ends. Turn back, we must always, to the birth of that promise, the essential splendor and the real reason of the Nativity. Loveliness found in squalor, beauty discovered in ugliness, glory without pomp. The great gift of Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That is the real meaning of Christmas, the real gift. It would not be complete until 33 years later, on a hilltop 5 miles to the north, on a spring afternoon, when the world would tremble. But it began in Bethlehem. So once upon a time, many, many years ago, in a distant land far across the sea, one wintry night, a troubled man knocks at an innkeeper's door. This man's name is Joseph. By his side, weak and weary, is his wife. Her face and clothes are blended in one color, the gray grime of dusty roads. She has traveled much. Her mantle frames her face in pale loveliness. In the moonlight, she is silhouetted with the round, tragic beauty of one who is about to bring life into the world. God has given her his greatest gift, but now she's deprived of ordinary blessings. She who is to be remembered as blessed among women seems forgotten. God has willed that she be his mother, that her flesh and blood be his flesh and blood, that her body form his body. Now beneath her heart, the Son of God has shelter. She has none. Within her, he rests. She no place to lay her head. He dwells in her. She has no dwelling place. She is the house of God, but she herself is homeless. Her name is Mary.
Mother tonight is wrong. father tonight is rocking a cradle.
Of all the things we've been through this week, what a wonderful way to end our broadcasting week with the great John Facenda and the Nativity, where Christ had a home and he was in love with his mother and being nourished, but the mother was homeless that night. No place to lay her head. Now to the 2021 International Radio Hall of Fame broadcast and lifetime achiever, a fellow Italian-American like this narrator tonight, the great John Facenda, Ms. Jerry Pitino. How do you feel about tonight?
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I needed to hear that tonight. Praise God. Thank you for dealing with everything you dealt with and still doing it. So I want to thank you for that. God is smiling down tonight. And John Facenda,
yes,
God bless him, because you're right. He has the voice of God because his voice is unbelievable. But here's the most amazing thing about this story tonight. The way he tells it, I don't think anyone else could have done that. Even about the donkey. Talking about Joseph, we don't really hear much about Joseph. And the donkey, explaining how amazing that donkey had to be for it to be chosen, right?
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. You look at the story of having to be taxed by Caesar Augustus, and the poor woman was pregnant, but they still had to make it to Bethlehem to be part of the census and to be taxed under Roman rule, because it wasn't called Israel at that time, Jerry. It was called Judea. It was a province. Mm-hmm. It was a colony of the Roman Empire. And what the people had to suffer, there was, no cars at those times. You had to take, it wasn't a carriage that Mary was in. She was, riding on a donkey 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. So amazing. And when they got to Bethlehem, there was no room
right
in the inn.
Right.
And what John talked about tonight, we're on our caller too, that's been waiting so patiently, that in squalor became glory. And no matter what you're going through in your life, this has been, one of the most trying times of W Nation history. We were not able to come on at 9:30. And the Spirit of God told me to keep trying. And I did. And I'm so grateful that I've been obedient to the will of God for us to be able to do this show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The first true clean show of the week. Even though it started at 11:30 for the first time since 2012 with me and Ricky R. Jones. We never had a show start at 11:30. And this show is so important. We bring on our caller. Caller, you're live right now with the Nativity by John Facenda.
Is that me?
Caller. Yes.
Hi.
Yes. How are you? How are you tonight, Eva?
Is that me? It's
yes.
You.
How are you tonight?
It's
how are
me.
You tonight?
Hi. I'm hanging in there. I'm okay. How you doing?
We're here.
What a great voice John had, huh? What a great storyteller. That was really enjoyable to listen to.
Yes, indeed.
So cool.
I believe, in my life, I never found a narrator like John Facenda to bring life to a story that means so much to all of us. It's a great story. Whether, like John Facenda said, he said, because it's true. And, it just... a great story for a great time.
Yes.
I want to thank you personally on air, personally on air, during your show, on Wednesday. And they want the shows other than this show to be totally archived in its continuity.
Right.
We know that our parent network has had some serious problems this week that will have to be accounted for through millions and millions of podcasts around the world. But we were able to do our due diligence. We were able to come on tonight regardless of the circumstance. And we're thankful to you tonight. And thank you for hanging in there after midnight. First show after midnight in the history of Beverly Nation ever. But it had to be done tonight. And I'm very proud of it.
Well, we're proud of you. And we're proud of our great network. So thank you for that. And you guys have a wonderful, wonderful holiday.
Thank you,
Love
Ava.
You, girl.
Now to my dedication to Jerry Fertitta, because she is Italian, and no way of, you know, going to Ngozi time, let her have last, you know, thoughts of tonight after this song right here.
Means Merry Christmas to you. Bon Natale to everyone. Happy New Year and lots of fun. Bon Natale, may all your wishes come true. Bon Natale in Italy means a Merry Christmas to you. Far away across the sea, in sunny Italy, there's a quaint little town, not a clock has been wound for over a century. They don't know the time or year, and no one seems to care. And this is the reason the Christmas season is celebrated all year. Oh, Bon Natale, a Merry Christmas to you. Bon Natale to everyone. Happy New Year and lots of fun. Bon Natale, may all your wishes come true. Bon Natale in Italy means a Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Jerry. Merry Christmas to your family and to all your loved ones around the world.
I love you.
And your final thoughts tonight of this outstanding program.
So, again, I want to thank you for this because as a Christian, and of course as an Italian, that song rocked. So I want to thank you for that incredible song. You made my night. But as a Christian, that story is so important. And again, the way he tells it, it was so needed tonight and so beautiful. And now, you know, God's smiling down. Trust me, he is. And I want to thank you personally, Brother O, for making this get done tonight. I love you.
I love you too. And tonight, okay, it's after 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time. We hope to be a steward to all of you, be a great steward. We hope that our parent network gets it together and do a better job. I know that we all are in the same family. We all are looking for the greatness in us. And, you know, what more can we do that we are, you know, around the world is trying to do? And that is really the broadcast. It is our sacred right as producers to be able to just be. And this week has been very, very trying for all of us. Who are proprietors, who are CEOs of different networks around the world. I want to say to all of you, happy holidays to you and your family. And, of course, tomorrow night, we'll come back on with News Forum with our fifth reigning commissioner, Dr. Chinchilla Jay, 9:30 Eastern Daylight Time on the one and only Beverly Nation. Of course, Beverly Nation is advertised through Ghost of Time Multimedia, Pinterest, Google, Instagram, and X, formerly known as Twitter, or Dudley Labor Ghost here, Facebook. Any comments, suggestions to our wonderful program tonight? Oh, Lay Day Lay. Time goes with my and gmail.com. I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Dr. Ola Dalina Labor and Ghosty, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there on Our Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. We as broadcasters just want to do our jobs. Blog Talk, help us fix this problem. Fix this immediately, because we deserve it. We deserve it. Give us the keys to call into our shows on our appointed time, because tomorrow is not promised. But one thing is promised. It's him.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. While field and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nation prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love.